What's going on, people? It's Lawrence Kane Jr., financial coach and host of the Money Talks podcast on the Never Not Working Network. I want to thank you guys for tuning in to this episode. Really excited about this one because we're going to be talking about a subject that tons of Americans and a lot of people locally in Cincinnati reach out to me about. And we're going to be talking about credit cards. For those who don't have credit cards, you need to get some, and I'll explain why. For those who have credit cards, we'll be talking about how to manage those in a better fashion. Again, we want to always start off with the history lesson, right? Because we know what credit cards are, but we want to know how they even came about. So credit cards date back, and this information is from Pain with Plastic book by David Evans. So the history of credit started actually in the 1920s. So it started with department stores, go figure, right? And oil companies, they started offering a metal charge plate. So it was actually a metal card that customers can carry around. And they were very similar to the modern day store cards. That, like I said, back in the 1920s, right, during the Great Depression, these cards were available for only department stores and oil companies. So then you fast forward to 1950. There's a guy from New York named Frank McNamara. He started the Diners Club, which is noted to be the first company to offer merchant cards. So he had partnerships with different restaurants that offered this card. A restaurant like, you know, Bob Evans or whatever could have their customers use this card, but he charged merchants a 7% fee on each transaction. Now, the goal was to get people to spend more and make it more convenient, for those who wanted to eat out but probably didn't get paid for another week. So how they set it up was they actually only had one bill, so they can, you know, again, just like regular credit cards today, they can swipe for their dinners for, you know, a whole week, and they would just have one bill for their food. And that's how they sold it. And it doesn't sound like it was a good idea, but after the first year, the Diners Club had 42,000 members. So obviously it worked. And then 2 years later, they became an international company. You talking a 2 year time frame, they went from being local in New York to being global. That's pretty powerful if you ask me. But it gets a little bit more crazier as we go into 1958. This is where American Express comes into the picture, and they offered the first plastic card. So mind you, from 1920 to 1958, there wasn't a plastic card. They had these metal cards that they were offering to people. And now American Express offers this plastic card. And then you have other companies that began to get into the mix that we still see today, like Discover, which they came about through Sears in 1986. This started the trend of the cash back promotion. So, of course, you know, they still have that going on today where you swipe your card, you get 3% cash back on, you know, certain purchases, and you got certain companies saying cash back on anything. But in 1986, that's when it started. So that attracted the masses due to, you know, quote unquote, saving while spending. But we know this is false, right? Because when you have a credit card, you get charged interest on the balance that you keep. So if you don't pay it off before the interest accrues, then you really don't save anything. But then you fast forward to 2017, Americans have over $1 trillion in credit card debt. So just like last episode, we talked about how student loans, we have $1 trillion in student loan debt. So we really got to get our debt together. And going forward, again, if we want this number to decrease, we have to do two things. We have to manage what we have and get those paid off and stop using it, but also being able to teach the next generation how to properly manage their debt and possibly just manage their finances so they don't have to worry about debt. Because Americans right now, we have it to where credit cards are a necessity and we have to spend, you know, we got taught that, you know, to get your credit good, we have to spend money on it. And we actually don't. You don't have to spend or swipe your credit card for it to affect your credit in a positive manner. And we'll talk about that in a bit. But we did a Money Talks poll question on Twitter. So if you don't follow me on Twitter, follow me at Lawrence Kane Jr. We did a poll, and it was simple. How many credit cards do you have? We had, you know, none, 1 to 2, 3 to 5, or 6 or more. And based on that poll, it showed that 70% of people have at least one credit card. And out of that 70%, 33% of them have 3 or more. So for that 30% that doesn't have any, we want to make sure we educate you on why you really do need a credit card. It's not just for emergencies. It's not for, you know, paying vacation. It's really geared towards building your credit and actually helping the next generation build theirs. A perfect example of this is one of my favorite people in the world, Eric Thomas. He talks about how his wife authorized him on her credit card, and he didn't even know. And that's how he got his credit up. He was in the low 5 years of credit history at 16. That's why you see a lot of, you know, people 18, 19 driving nice cars right off the lot, no money down, because their parents authorized them on a card. They put them on, you know, the mortgage and, you know, things like that. And their credit is good. When I was working in corporate America, I literally used to see 18-year-olds with 780 credit scores. And I'm like, when I look at the credit report, I'm seeing that they're on, you know, a Discover card that was taken out in 2008. I'm like, you were only 9 then. Like, what are you, like, that's how they do it, man. And that's what we have to do. We have to look at doing smarter things when it comes to credit cards, and really understand that there are certain things that just shouldn't be used for a credit card. Like, gas is something that I go back and forth with, but I'll say it's something that you can use. But when you look at the things that we buy with the credit card, like, we spend a lot of money on stuff that we really don't need, and we put it on the card. And we get charged interest on that. So we gotta stop buying stuff that is not going to help us make more money. Bottom line, like, treat the credit card like an investment card, to where you know you got something that you can purchase. Like, for, let's say, somebody doing graphic design. Let's say you need a new computer. I'd rather you put that on your credit card, because I know you're going to use that to be able to make money, right? But if you don't have no type business and you just want a new laptop to watch Netflix movies on, like, that's a stupid it's a stupid reason to use your credit card. You know, even vacation shouldn't be put on a credit card. When you look at a vacation, only thing should be on there is just if they need, you know, the hotel or the resort needs a card to put on file, and they only accept credit cards. That's the only reason why. You shouldn't put the whole vacation expense on a credit card. Because again, when you look at that, when you look at the interest that's accruing, I mean, credit cards, even if you got an 800 credit score and you get a credit card, you're still going to have a 15% interest rate. And that's still high. Like, I know people that got car interest rates that's that high for their car note. Like, you have to think smarter. And bottom line, you have to get rid of the credit card balances, but also understand that we don't have to spend money on a credit card for it to affect us in a positive manner. So for those who, again, have credit cards, get the balance down, then ask for a credit increase, and then don't even use the credit cards anymore. And it still will help out. It's still going to help with your credit card utilization. It's still going to help with the payment history. And it's also going to help with the age of credit history, because the longer your age of credit history, the better your credit becomes. And again, we're going to be talking about that next episode, we're going to jump into all things credit when it talks about how a credit score is figured out, and then also what's a FICO score, because a lot of people ask me that. And we're just going to really focus on how do we get and maintain good credit, because it's too many people that I sit down with. They had, you know, 690s in January. Now they're down to 600 because they didn't pay a bill or something. So it's just little small, silly things that we need to stop doing as a community and as a nation, and get rid of this debt. Like, it's no reason why, as a society, we should have $1 trillion in student loan debt and $1 trillion in credit card debt, right? And it's just time to change it, man. So again, hopefully that was all helpful. We're going to switch gears to the saving tip of the week. This segment is brought to you by Abundance University, where financial success happens on purpose. Again, Abundance University, we do financial coaching, we do credit repair, and we also do workshops for both youth and adults. So follow us at abundanceuniversity.net. And if you want to look at the services, you want to get a book, you want to do anything just with us, just feel free to reach out to us. But the money saving tip of the week, what we want to do is, again, and I can't stress this enough. I see it year after year when it comes to saving money for Christmas. This is what you want to do, right? We have 15. It's 15 Fridays before Christmas comes. 15. So what I want you to do is look at how much money you make or you plan to make in the next 15 weeks, and then use 10% of that. And that's your budget for Christmas. So you don't have to worry about losing time at a job that you don't like, but you just want Christmas to be great. And you don't have to worry about working overtime, and you don't have to worry about using a credit card. You have money. You just have to use it the right way. 15 weeks, right? So if your budget is only, you know, $600, well, use that $600, right? And also, well, I'm going to just throw this out there. Some of y'all work jobs where they be giving y'all, little bonuses, or they give you gift cards throughout the week. So how many gift cards are you going to get over the next 3 months? Save those and give those out as Christmas gifts, especially to like your cousins or like even your grandma who got everything, right? You know, we got those family members that it's hard to shop for them because they have everything. So give them the gift card, right? Instead of using it for yourself, give them the gift card. That way you save money. The goal is to keep as much money in your household as possible. And if you do that, I promise you, you know, this holiday season will be worth it. Me and my wife have never used credit cards for Christmas. We never will, because we plan in advance. We already know we're buying our son some phone posits for Christmas, and we're saving up for that. Like, he's in 11 now, so we gotta, and he's 6, so not 11 in men, so it ain't like we paying $200, but you know, his shoes are more expensive now. I just got done only paying $20 for his shoes, you know, 2 months ago. Now he's going into that little kid stage where we're going to be paying $100 possibly. So now that's what we're doing. We're planning right now for what we're going to be buying our kids, what we're going to be buying our families, and then we're going to allot that money. So we might catch a sale, right? For those who might like Black Friday, you might already know what you're looking for, and you can budget accordingly. So again, that's the money saving tip of the week. Again, be on the lookout for the next episode. We'll be talking about credit. We have some good things in store. And a few more episodes. I have a special guest coming for those who are interested in investments and just planning for retirement for those who think about that stuff. But again, this is the Money Talks podcast. I am your host, Lawrence Kane Jr., financial coach and author on the Never Not Working Network. And I want you guys to understand that financial success, it happens on purpose. It doesn't happen by chance. God bless.